Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Oops, we did it again.
Again?
Yeah, we played with your heart, got lost in the game.
Oh, I thought we dumped the crunch berries in.
Oh, yeah, that too. Oops, all berries.
All the berries.
All berries.
What an awful cereal.
Oh, yeah, no, not a fan.
No.
No.
It's like,
I want the no berries one.
The no berries, just straight up rip up the roof of your mouth. That's what I want.
That's what I want. Fiberglass. Delicious.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm,
that's right. A good one. Kids, don't eat fiberglass.
Do not.
Do not do it.
Don't eat them. Don't eat stuff that's not food, you idiots. You eat Tide Pods and you fucking bullshit.
You big stop old it. Dummies. You dummies.
You stop that shit right now.
Yeah. That's for pregnant women with pica.
Oh my goodness. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't do that, pregnant ladies.
Stop that.
No fiberglass for you.
No, please do not.
Yes.
No light bulbs.
Ooh. That movie.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh. So, movies.
Ooh.
I've got two. You got two.
Woo.
I know what you got. Do you want to end or do you want to go first?
Oh, you go first this time.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Well, tonally, it's like the same shit, okay?
Yeah.
The Killing Jar.
Killing Jar.
The Killing Jar.
$1 in the Killing Jar.
Yes, every time a murder. Poof, weird. 2010's The Killing Jar. I watched
the title would be better if it was Every Time a Murder.
Every Time a Murder?
Every Time a Murder.
That's like a 1950s kind of noir title.
Every Time a Murder.
Nah, that's what you think.
Raymond Chandler's Every Time a Murder.
We have to Google that and see if that's a real thing. Because odds are it is. But no, 2010's The Killing Jar. I watched it the 23rd of February, 2023. It's an hour 32, very close to the perfect runtime. It is crime, mystery, thriller.
Jar.
That's right. There is several jars in the movie. Directed by Mark Young, starring Michael Madsen, who I love.
Oh, yes.
Harold Perrineau and Amber Benson.
Mm.
Your IMDb movie summary. A stranger armed with a shotgun takes seven patrons hostage in a remote roadside diner. But as the body count increases, the desperate survivors discover that one of the hostages may be even more dangerous than their captor.
Uh-oh.
What? More dangerous? You mean like anybody can come in this diner?
Anybody.
Any old person?
Any young person.
Oh, wow.
The director was young.
He was.
Hey.
Mark Young. Hi, Mark. I enjoy this movie a bunch. It's one of those low-budget movies. It's like one room. We're all in this diner. You get a sense very early on that we're just collecting people into this diner. And it's just so we can off a bunch of people in this diner. What happens is Michael Madsen shows up, and this is like in the middle of nowhere. I forget what state they said this was, but middle of nowhere, there's like a storm. And they hear over the radio that somebody got murdered, which is not common at all.
Right.
And they're like, oh my God, somebody got murdered. It was somebody in a truck, black truck or something. And he pulls up in a truck. They can't see what color it is. So they're like worried about him. There is a cop already in the diner. And the waitress, who is very annoying at the beginning, she gets better towards the end. But like, she's like, you should go talk to him. And he's like, what? Why? So he basically just harasses this guy and just treats him like complete crap. Michael Madsen just gets up and leaves, comes back in. Blows them away.
Wow.
That's the start of your movie. So you start unweaving this story and you start to realize that the person who did the murder might be in the diner. There's definitely something related to it that happens that you're like, wait a minute. I don't think the guy holding us hostage, I don't think he's the bad guy. He's clearly screwed up.
Interesting.
So then you're like, well, now if that's true, I've got two horrible things to deal with. Really gruesome. Bloody awful movie. If you're squeamish, do not watch it. Lots of violence. Michael Madsen likes to take people and interview them one-on-one and try to decide if he thinks they're a person of interest. And if they're a terrible person, well, that's it for them. Not incredibly original, but it's a lot of fun.
That's cool.
It's a weird shoot 'em up restaurant movie. It's probably like my 10th favorite diner movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
Yeah.
A lot of diner movies.
Is there?
I think so. Yeah. Including the movie Diner.
I like Blood Diner.
Blood Diner.
Blood Diner. Fun. I own it. It'll get on here at some point. Really bad effects on that one. Love it. IMDb gave it a 5.8. Rotten Tomato critics, 8 of them weighed in and gave it a 0.
Whoa.
Which very much surprised me because this movie is not a 0.
Not a 0.
You don't have to love it, but it's not a 0. The audience, 500 plus, gave it 35%. But I got the highest score at a 6.5. I thought Michael Madsen was awesome, and that's enough for me.
That's enough for me.
That's enough for me.
Woo!
Tell me about a wizardy boy.
Yeah, 2004, Harry Potter's back at it again, this time with the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Is that the name of the movie?
Harry Potter's back at it again. That's how the trailer starts, like it's a 70s exploitation movie.
Yeah.
Harry Potter's back at it again. Women, bikes, and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
We gotta get this guy to Azkaban!
That's right. There is a flying motorcycle in the first one.
Oh, well, great.
Yeah. This movie came out in 2004. I watched it on 3323. It is 1 hour and 19 minutes long. It is a fantasy film. Directed this time not by Christopher Columbus, but by Alfonso Cuarón, who we love.
Okay.
Starring the Gary Oldman, who we love.
Yes.
Fiona Shaw and Richard Griffiths.
Nice.
Movie summary by me.
Yes.
Things are more dangerous than ever. A madman on the loose, more findings on Harry's parents, and terrible secrets from the past changing everything. Oh, yeah. And time's a thing.
Oh, time is a thing.
Time is a thing.
Ooh, time.
Yeah, that's right.
Jeez.
Yeah, there's your summary by me.
I like it, yeah. Terrible secrets. All they do is awful things, I feel.
You just unpack so much that's going on throughout these films. But they do a nice job. Cuarón steps into this one and is just upends a lot. Richard Harris passed away as Dumbledore, and so they replaced him, I obviously had to, with Michael Gambon. And the look of everything changes. Cuarón, very much a visual director, and very focused on weaving themes of the film into the look of the movie. So it still looks like the Hogwarts that Christopher Columbus created. There's just a few differences. Time's a thing, so there's a big pendulum right in the middle of the front entryway to the school because time is an important theme in this film.
Nice.
And like there's some things that kind of are a little on the nose, but I think are important for teaching kids of this age, you know what I mean, who would be watching this, about things like theme.
Yeah, I always try to keep that in mind when watching something like this. I'm like, this is for a younger audience, and they haven't seen this before like we have.
Exactly.
So it's good it's in there.
Yeah, it works really well. I think that time element woven in there, I think that there's a lot with one of the professors and Harry that they spend a lot of time on, while, again, even more gets omitted here. I think this is the last book that fits enough into a movie that it works.
Okay.
I think after this, the books get much thicker in terms of page count, and the movies have to omit huge chunks of important plot and story in order to fit the baseline movie into our book into one two and change hour film.
Interesting.
Yeah, it starts to get pretty rough. I wish that, and I was surprised they didn't do this with The Hunger Games, because they announced when The Hunger Games came out there were going to be four films for the three books. I thought for sure they were just going to be like, we're going to pace it out across the three books to make four movies. No, just going to do part one and two for the last one. It's like, why though? Yeah, like, there's so much meat on the bone in these other ones that you're just cutting out for the sake of what? Having a part one and part two at the end? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And Harry Potter, again, this one wasn't, all these weren't out yet at the time of this release in terms of books. So I kind of get it from that sense, but it started, and I think we're starting to see more and more. These stories need a little bit more attention and detail than what we're getting out of these. But overall, I think all the actors really bring it. I think Cuarón is a perfect choice for this kind of thing. He brings in a unique and interesting spin on it. I think the plot works really well here. This is definitely, if not the strongest, one of the strongest entries in this series from a film standpoint. Okay. Not my favorite book, but still a really good book.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. I like the way that things played out. And that's all I have to say about that. IMDb, 7.9 out of 10.
Ooh.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 259 critics, 90%.
Oh, we're going up.
Going on up.
Yeah.
Audience, 250,000 plus muggles, 86%. So okay. Also an increase here. And also an increase from me, 8 out of 10.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, now I got the feeling this is probably as good as it gets, and my other prediction was wrong.
We'll find out in just few minutes.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Well, I got a movie.
Ooh, one?
I've got one left.
One left.
Yeah. It's The Crow.
Oh my goodness, quite a film.
Yes. The original comic book movie, right?
I enjoy me a crow.
That's not true. There were so many before.
There's a lot of them.
But this was like a really important one as far as indie comics, which were starting to be more of a thing in the 90s.
So. I agree.
From 1994, The Crow. I watched it on March 6th, 2023. It's an hour 42 action crime drama comic book.
Comic book.
And I'd argue better than the comic book.
Comic book.
Comic book gets weird sometimes. Directed by Alex Proyas, starring Brandon Lee, Michael Wincroft, and Rochelle Davis.
Hmm.
IMDb movie summary. A man brutally murdered comes back to life as an undead avenger of his and his fiancée's murder.
Yep.
This is such a cool movie. I don't know how you feel about this movie. I like it.
I had seen this movie before I knew about the comic book.
Yeah. I think a lot of people learned about the comic because of that. And it probably got a lot of people into comics because you were like, wait a minute, it's not just all Batman and Superman, Spider-Man's. There's like dark stories out there, which was really cool.
Yep.
Of course, we have the tragedy of Brandon Lee on this movie.
Yes.
Dying on set, which is really just awful.
That's right.
And you still hear about it today with things going on in movies today, which is sad.
Look at you, Alec Baldwin.
But this movie, awesome. The way Brandon Lee plays it is super great. My new catchphrase.
Super great.
Super great. He does a really good job. He's very spooky, but there's a tenderness to him depending on who he's interacting with. When he's talking to the little girl, he's super, super sweet with her. When he's talking to Ernie Hudson's character, the police officer, he's just a little more honest with him and just like a little more quizzical because he's like, well, what happened? And like he does his little Ghost Rider thing where he's like sees what happened.
Right.
And he's like, oh, you stayed with her. And he feels all the pain, but he gets all the knowledge.
Yep.
But this is largely just a spectacle. It's a lot of really cool set pieces and just a really fun movie. I think this is a great movie.
It does a lot of really cool, like when he's dealing with the bad guy's name in the alleyway and he's just like laughing and like the dude's trying to find
Tintin.
Him. Just, yeah, Tintin. Oh, it's such a, that is, that one's like burned into my head as like a really awesome.
He's throwing the knives at him.
It's so cool.
And he just like bats him away. He's like, try again. Try harder.
Yeah.
And he's like, what?
Yeah, it's so good. It's just like the feeling of he knows he has this dude exactly where he wants him and he's going to enjoy every second of it permeates so much through that scene. It's a really good one.
And then after that scene, the fate of him, when you get to see him, I'm like, ooh, goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just him picking off the people who'd done him wrong and it gets very interesting at the end. It's cool because there are actual bands in the movie, which they continued in other subsequent movies. But I think this movie's great. I think it's a very good it feels like an exploitation movie in a way. It feels big, bombastic kind of style.
Yeah, like with this gothic, like 90s gothic polish to it that's really unique and different.
It was very Hot Topic before Hot Topic.
Yes.
Is how it feels, you know?
Yep.
It gets a little edgy. It's a little much for some people, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was very unique for its time. And I forgot Tony Todd was in this.
Tony Todd, Ernie Hudson.
John Polito, I think his name is.
Yep.
Yeah, that guy's great.
Yep.
But I think it's pretty good. Let's see what they think. IMDb, 7.5.
It's pretty high.
It is. Rotten Tomato Critics, 63 of them, 84%.
Higher than I would have guessed.
Yes. The audience, 250,000 plus.
Muggles.
That smuggles all of them, 90%.
Holy crap.
I was blown away by these scores.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because I was like, I'm going to like this
movie. I thought you were coming up and like going to be like, I have a higher score than everybody for this one for sure. I would have never guessed that.
Right. I don't, but I'm in there. I gave this an 8.5, and the wife gave it an 8.
Had she seen this before?
Many moons ago.
Okay.
Many moons. Yeah, my wife's, her brother is like virtually just like me. Like he likes a lot of the stuff I like. So she's seen a lot of this stuff, but she's like, I haven't seen this in years. She liked it. She liked it a bunch.
Nice.
Which is great.
Very cool.
Yeah, I love that those scores were so high.
Yeah.
Won't happen again on a Crow movie, I'm sure.
No. No. 2005.
Sure.
Can you believe Harry Potter?
Again?
And the Goblet of Fire.
Oh, that's not where you put fire?
No, Harry. You shouldn't drink that.
Oh, boy.
It's 3723 it was when I watched this one, and it's 237 minutes long. There are numbers in there, sure.
Jeez.
I tried.
Certainly.
I tried. It is a fantasy film directed by Mike Newell, starring the David Tennant, the Clemence Posse? I don't know, Stanislav Yanevsky. This one has other schools coming.
Yes.
To Hogwarts. I will explain with this fantastic and in-depth movie summary. Triwizard Tournament? WTF? What's going on? Why are the rules broken? Harry is in peril? Of course! Lots of crazy tournament action, and the danger is more than ever.
Oh, a good tournament arc.
A good tournament arc.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Every anime needs it,
that's right. Other schools come, and they compete in this Triwizard Tournament. Three schools, one person selected from each school to represent it, but something goes haywire and Harry is selected as the fourth competitor and there's magical binding things that require him to be involved. But he's much younger than the other competitors are. He's not yet learned enough to really compete, but he's going to do it anyway because he's Harry Potter.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's his damn movie.
Yeah. This movie, this movie is egregious amounts of things getting cut out. This one really, really makes... This one's rough for me, having now finally seen the last two. Because there's something really important that happens and something very heartwarming and, like, brutal that happens in the last film. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess right before the last film, second last film in this one. But it's in the last book as well. That's, like, absolutely gut-wrenching, but, like, lovely. And you lose so much of that because of stuff that was omitted in this film. So this one is rough. It is trying really hard to focus on the cool set pieces of the tournament aspect. It's focused very much on the ending, which I think is the best part of this movie by a long shot. Okay. The ending bit of this is really, really exceptional. Spoiler alert for Tim, I guess, only. But this is where Voldemort actually returns in earnest. He is the he who
he's must... earnest.
Yeah, he's earnest. He's earnest. He comes Vern. Back, Vern. Nice. And he is the he who must not be named, if you've ever heard that turn of phrase. And so he's the big bad of the stories. He's the one who murdered Harry's parents. He's like the Hitler of wizards, basically. Wow. Like just an absolute not liked by many.
That's not good.
But a few kind of guy.
Sure, sure.
So this is the big, like, oh, done. But that whole scene is so good when he comes back. It's scary. It's dangerous. Ralph Fiennes, however he chooses to call himself these days, is Voldemort, and man, his performance is terrifying and intimidating and unhinged, like exactly what you want from him.
Yeah,
like could not have cast that better.
I'm very curious what your score is now, because you said so many awful things and then so many good things.
The ending really pulls up like I would say most of the points in here, like something to the tune of 75% or better of this score that I gave it hinges on how good that ending is.
That can happen. Yeah, for sure.
It's really good. IMDb says 7.7 because they only know one number.
True.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 255 of them, 88% because they only know one number. The Muggles, 250,000 plus, 74% because they're all-knowing Muggles. They know two numbers. I only know one's number, 5.5 out of 10.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and I'd say an easy 4 of that is the end. That last scene where Voldemort returns is so good. Wow. It's so scary. It really ups the ante. It makes this is the transition from children's book to young adult. People actually, they are characters that are dead. For real, dead. If you read the book, spread eagle on the ground, dead.
Oof.
Yeah, brutal stuff.
Oof.
Dead.